The time is 8:07, currently 60 degrees under fair skies in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Busy show here coming up at 8:20. We will be talking to our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. She is again over in Oshkosh at the EAA Air Venture, and lots going on there. We'll talk about that and talk about the forecast as we get towards the weekend. That's coming up at 8:20. Then at 8:34 this morning, we will have our weekly feature, North Star Knows, with North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. And at 9:34, we'll be talking about the Wausau 18th Annual Chamber Music Festival. It gets underway this weekend, and we'll be joined by Michael Andrews. And I believe that we are actually going to have a live performance here in the studio. That's, we're going to try to set things up here in our rather small studio, but get a little bit of chamber music in the second hour of the program. So all that's still to come, but we always start here on a Thursday morning. Guy that sticks around after his show. In fact, I just heard him say he was getting ready for a nap, so I really do appreciate the fact that he's going to stick around with us here for a few minutes. The host of Up North News Radio that you hear every single weekday from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. Pat, good morning.
This has been the longest week. good. How are you?
Good. And you're actually right. I mean, I was thinking yesterday, you know, as we were watching the president, thinking, I mean, it was Sunday when the announcement came down, and everything that it seemed to occur within 24 hours and 48 hours and 72 hours, a lot has been squeezed into a short period of time this week, hasn't it?
It sure has. And I mean, it could have gone in so many different directions. It went in what is absolutely the smoothest, best possible outcome for, you know, folks on the Democratic side. And for folks on the Republican side, it has been an occasion to essentially freak out that things have happened far faster than they anticipated, than they could have possibly prepared for, and continue to be caught flat-footed by essentially the changing of the guard, the passing of the torch on the Democratic side of things.
Let's talk briefly about last night, because obviously a lot of folks were waiting to hear from the president, and one thing that came across to me, it is an emotional thing for him. I often think, you know, I think about my own career, that I think about getting older and hoping that my skills stay at the level that they are to continue to do something that I love to do as long as I possibly can. And I think the president would love to continue in this line of work, because he is somebody that loves being part of the system, being part of doing things to help the American people. And I just think that, again, to underline what we saw last night and hearing the stories of the 30 people that were in that Oval Office watching it, his family members, the emotion that they had, I just think that, again, I think sometimes folks underestimate that when you have a job that he could have kept. He had the 3,900 delegates. If he decided he was going to plow right on through, he could have done it. How difficult that decision must have been.
Extremely selfless, but only after obviously there was this long period of reckoning. And we've talked about how it has really connected with people because so many families have had this conversation, whether it's about the car keys or the family business or, you know, things like that, where you're going to live. There are these difficult conversations when you feel like you still have something to give back. You still have some talent. You certainly have a wealth of experience and you have the drive, but you still may not necessarily have the ability. And it's one thing to have that happen in sports where you have all those things, but your body just isn't doing all the things that your mind wishes that it could. But when it comes to something less athletic and much more, you know, cerebral, like being president, it's tougher. You can't identify a single point and you go, that's it. You just can't be president anymore. And so you have to have these difficult conversations in your own head, much less with your family and friends and political advisors. So obviously it took some time for the president to reach that conclusion. But once he did, nobody could have handled it with more grace. And it is a result of that grace that you see Kamala Harris excelling right out of the gates in her presidential campaign. And while you have so many people coming on board, you had 40,000 black women on one Zoom call, then about 40,000 black men on another, each raising well over $1 million. You have 40-some thousand new voter registrations across the country, 80% of them by people between the ages of 18 and 34 because they see the torch being passed. So this could not have gone more smoothly, but only after, as we all saw together, you know, that very rough path to get there.
Let's talk about the other guy. And I just, you have to chuckle after last week where there were folks in the media, and again, when I say that, I obviously point at ourselves as being part of the media, but not saying some of the things that we heard, that were so ready after the assassination attempt to say that Donald Trump is going to come back, bring the people together, become truly a statesman. And what he said last night, what he said the last few days. In fact, I heard somebody last night while I was watching coverage of the president's address say that they had talked to somebody within the Trump campaign and was told no more Mr. Nice Guy, like what we've seen up to this point.
What?
Was Mr. Nice Guy from Donald Trump. But nothing has changed. Last night was an embarrassment again from Donald Trump, wasn't it? On a night where where the president
he could have handled everything with equal parts of grace and said, you know, hey, Crooked Joe, you know, he's got a good heart and, you know, good American and good luck, but now I'm going to beat his vice president. And he couldn't even muster up, you know, the grace to do that, and instead rambled on again about Hannibal Lecter and sharks and electric boat motors. And he said last night that he would like to replace some of America's generals with college football coaches and race car drivers and owners and just ask them how they would fix the military. That should be leading newscasts right now. If any other person were to talk like that, why we continue giving this guy a free pass for rambling such nonsense, I don't understand. But as I've said before, Chad, I don't see how he attracts new voters based on the things that he says and does, whereas Kamala Harris has already proven an ability to attract new voters who are happy to have a fresh choice.
Also, though, I want to say, I think, is with all the enthusiasm, there's still going to be bumps in this road. I think there is a lot of excitement, but this campaign is truly just getting underway again. And as somebody's gone through these campaigns, and frankly, again, Vice President Harris did run 4 years ago, and it was not a campaign that, in the retrospects, was said to be, you know, a great campaign. What advice would you give the vice president and the staff of for her to go into the next 100-plus days and run a great campaign?
Share your secrets, because clearly you're doing stuff right already. And I saw articles yesterday about basically that first 48 hours of the Kamala Harris campaign, the way that they were ready to go from the very moment that they learned from the president that he was withdrawing. And that they were ready, you know, the vice president made 100 phone calls within 10 hours to top Democrats, top donors, got things coordinated. So She doesn't need a lot of advice from me, and she already followed the first piece of advice I would have offered anyway, which is don't ignore Wisconsin. She came to Wisconsin first for her first rally. So she understands all of that as well. The toughest part will be that, at least for the short term, because she got off to such a good start, will be to not take anything for granted. Because again, the only reason Donald Trump won in 2016 was that there were just enough people who took things for granted and said, oh, Hillary Clinton's got this in the bag. I don't need to take time out to go vote today. And a few people who heard enough ads from Donald Trump to say, eh, you know, I don't really know about Hillary Clinton, so I'm just going to stay home as well. I don't think those things are going to happen this time around. People understood how Trump snuck in 2016. But my advice would be, don't take that for granted. Like any track coach will tell you, you run all the way through the tape at the finish line.
Also, I got to say, I enjoyed hearing you talk about Eric Hovde today. Because even bigger...
Life coach Eric Hovde, of course.
And, yes. You know, anybody that's got probably, you know, billions of dollars telling everybody else it's not about the money really, you know, is something that's very special. But
you should be grateful. Have gratitude for what you have and don't ask me for a raise.
But talking about the general campaign here, this guy is trying to run through November without basically talking about real issues, not really coming out and saying exactly what he believes. This guy is really trying to play the bait and switch, isn't he?
Well, yeah. And I like that Joe Zepecki on our show this morning properly called him out on it, that he hasn't offered anything new yet. He has been as generic as it gets. Look at the commercials. Look past the very awkward red, white, and blue collar shirt that he's wearing in his newest ad and listen to what he's saying. I want to close the border and I want to fix the fentanyl crisis and I want to bring down the government spending that's causing inflation. The government spending isn't what caused inflation. The government spending is what kept the economy strong and why we have the strongest economy in the world right now when it came back to recovering. And he's not going to do anything about the border. It's an easy thing to say because they're trying to win by demonizing others. And he's got nothing new. So we're still waiting for it, but the wait goes on.
And finally, am I going to see you tomorrow?
Actually, I was going to say, am I going to see you? I sent you a little note. I'm hoping we can make it down to Yacht Rock night for the Brewers.
No, I haven't seen the note. That's why I was sort of a little worried there.
Oh, I put it in the StreamYard chat here, but I'm going to send it on a regular chat right now.
Maybe I missed that. Okay. I just want to make sure because I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to actually coming down and instead of seeing you on a screen like we usually do, to see you in person. So we'll look forward to that.
In person. It's going to be fun.
Hey, Pat, thanks again. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow. And really, again, thanks a lot.
You bet. See you later.
That is Pat Kreitlow again, Up North News Radio, 6 till 8 a.m. every weekday morning right here on Bull Falls Radio. Weather coming up next here on WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us by going to facebook.com, go to the Bull Falls Radio page, be able to click on that link and then see us in studio or wherever we happen to be. And also, I would like to thank somebody who made a comment because at the start of the show, on our Civic Media app stream, you weren't hearing me. You were hearing Earl Ingram. So it's like, what's going on here? I send a note down to our folks in Madison. They were actually doing some work on our streaming. The server was changed, and somehow we got crossed up. They were able to fix it. So now all of you hopefully are tuned in right now, either on the radio or on our streams, wherever we may be, hearing my voice. And you're also going to hear the voice of one Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, who, again, here for the fourth day day in a row, is strolling the grounds of the EAA in Oshkosh. Again, a huge event every year here in the state of Wisconsin. And good morning, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, I do not hear your voice here. Oh, do we have a, are we potted up here?
I have the mic on.
But she's not muted, so I don't know what's going on here. I see her walking around.
I do have it all the way up.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Brittany's been talking during the course of her her trek over there about some of the internet issues, because there's so many people there and so little internet space. But Brittany, let's try again here. Are we able to see if we can get you on the air here?
Microphone is on. I'm not sure why.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, well, she's now actually, she's gone indoors. Again, if you're watching on our stream, you're seeing all this going on. I think we're going to have Brittany call us up. So, Ian, be ready. The phone's going to ring, then we're going to have Brittany join us through the phone line here in just a moment. But, again, she's been having a great time over in Oshkosh all week long. Been doing reports from the EAA, also doing the weather as well. And, again, I know that, you know, she's been trying to dip her toes into some flight training, and eventually she may be one of the people that you see up in the air over at the EAA as well. So, but the problem actually is where you're sometimes having some issues with the internet, and we're going to wait for Brittany to call us up and get her on the air here coming up very soon. But again, beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin. Plenty of sunshine. It was another very comfortable night to be able to sleep, and the temperature now into the lower 60s. Do we have Brittany?
Hello, hello.
There you go.
There we go. Got it set.
The only thing media-wise working out here is a cell phone at this point, and it's only voice calls. Texts aren't going through. You can't see any videos, social media, nothing. So if you are coming to the event, keep that in mind. There are so many people here. I think this is going to be a record year with attendance, camping, just everything going on. They had a drone show last night, something brand new that they have never had before, where these drones were literally lining up like different airplanes and moving through the sky. I have never seen anything like that. Technology is off the charts, but yet they can't get the signal to work for us.
I've been there. I've been to, you know, when you get towards the playoffs, when we have some of our high school broadcasts and we get packed houses, all of a sudden my signal goes away and it causes gray hair. So it just shows that this event is way too popular. I think it's just too popular. I think you got to make it a little less popular. No, of course, as you said, it's something that's been going on for so many years. It's such a huge event over in eastern Wisconsin. Is this, how many times have you been to EAA? Is this something that you do on a regular basis?
This is something I do on a regular basis from here on out. This is only my fourth year, and I say only because people that you meet here have been coming here for 30, 40 years. I mean, they come every time, and it's in a sense a family reunion, too. A lot of people know everyone. You meet new people, and you just keep coming back. You can't stop. You get the bug. You get addicted.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's just airplanes flying constantly all day, from jets to helicopters to private planes, just one after the other. I don't know if you can hear them in the background, but it's an interesting vibe because you can't really get that anywhere else.
And for the most part this week, again, you know, I can only go based on what we're having here in central Wisconsin, not too far away. For the most part, the weather has been cooperating over there.
It has been. The mornings have been a little crisp and chilly, but that's only because I'm in a tent and camping. And, you know, we've got that dew point reaching right to the temperature. So that's why we've had this dense, patchy fog throughout the area. Last night, I could see my breath, and it freaked me out. I was like, is it that cold? Or no, the relative humidity was that high that me just breathing out the hot air was essentially making a cloud. I never really saw that during this time of year. It's very rare, but temperatures have been holding nice into those mid-70s. Now today we'll pop to near 80 degrees, and the sun stays out. High pressure stays in control, and that's the case for tomorrow, too, and we'll climb into those low 80s as well. So the weather has been fantastic. Finally a little break for me, honestly.
Absolutely. And I guess finally, as we head towards the weekend, and for folks who are starting to look ahead towards their weekend activities, it's not going to stay quite as comfortable, is it?
No, it's not. Some of that mugginess, that sticky humidity is going to be starting to seep into the area. So you're going to start to really feel that. Otherwise, temperatures in those low to mid-80s, not a huge spike on the way, but just that mugginess will make it a little bit more uncomfortable. And then we're looking at chances for scattered showers and storms, those pushing in by Sunday night and lasting through Tuesday. So Sunday night plans, you want to keep them inside.
And finally, what are the details for our near the end of the week forecast?
Yeah, beautiful blue skies today. Highs at about 78 degrees. Some of us may tap 80 in southern areas. But otherwise, wind staying calm, about 5 miles per hour, and high pressure still in place. As we go through tomorrow, we will hit those 80s, low 80s, and it'll be another gorgeous day.
Fantastic. And I tell you, this morning, we're about half an hour into this show, and it's already been too stressful for me. So thank you for running in there, getting on the phone, joining us. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. And heck, tomorrow will be Friday. We'll talk to you then.
Sounds good. Have a great day, everyone.
That is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, joining us from Oshkosh and the EAA Air Venture. Right now in downtown Wausau, fair skies here at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Temperature stands at 60 degrees. The winds are perfectly calm. The dew point is 55, relative humidity of 84%, the barometer at 30.29 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. Coming up, we will have an information update to get the news, weather, and sports that you get and need at the top and bottom of every hour here on Bow Falls Radio. Then after that, it will be another edition of North Star Knows with North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. We're going to start off by talking about the insured's right to choose their contractor, and also then as well maximizing insurance proceeds through strategic material selection. That's where the experts are vitally important. So North Star Knows coming up for the rest of this hour right after our information update. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices by searching WXCO on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us on our web stream. Go to Facebook.com and the Bow Falls Radio page. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices by searching WXCO on the Civic Media app and also on our Facebook stream. Go to Facebook.com and go to the Bow Falls Radio page for a stream of what we're doing. And in fact, you can see myself on one side of the table, and we can see John Garcia and Jay Cricks from North Star Restoration and North Star Builds on the other, because it is Thursday morning. It is time again for North Star Knows here on Bow Falls Radio. First of all, gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. In fact, I was thinking about you guys and your business when I was driving into work this morning and on this beautiful day. And I was thinking, I can see why you guys would be busy building homes in this part of the world, because this morning kind of says, this is why we live in this part of the world. This is why you would build a home in this part of the world. Because, I mean, yeah, the sunshine, the very moderate temperatures, and of course you have all these great areas you can build these homes on, against the water, against, again, other beautiful areas of the state. I can see why you guys are doing pretty darn well. To be
honest
with you.
It's a beautiful place to live, and today is a gorgeous day.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump right in, because there's always a lot to talk about when we get together. And this one, when you sent the topic yesterday, I thought this is really a good one, because this is one that folks have to think about. And it's the insured's right to choose their contract. We'll start there, and then we'll delve
and we'll
a little.
Talk about why.
Exactly. But again, this is vital, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is. So, you know, we've had some inclement weather over the last few weeks, and you know, some of the losses that we've seen have been covered by insurance, and some of them haven't been covered by insurance because they didn't have the right type of policies in place. So, with all the flooding and the rain, and then recently with the lightning, we've seen, you know, just in one day, we had I believe three homes called, or three different structure fires due to lightning strikes throughout the central Wisconsin, the Northwoods area. And, you know, when the homeowner, after they call us, then they call us back and say, well, you know, my insurance company said that I should really go with so-and-so. You know, it raises a red flag. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what, that's going to be a great topic to talk about on the show this coming Thursday. So I think it's important that, you know, that the people out there really understand that when you call your insurance company, you've got the right to choose the contractor of your choice. And there's a lot of reasons why you want to have that control, because, you know, you don't want to give up all the control to the insurance adjuster or the insurance carrier, you know, in a lot of instances or, you know, in situations.
And that's why it's important to know your rights. It's mm-hmm. important to have a little bit of knowledge, because, frankly, again, and I'll put myself back into the average mm-hmm. Joe kind of seat here, when you feel like you're a little bit... you have some doubts about your own knowledge. You have some doubts about what you're able to do, what you're not able to do. It could be so easy, even if it's just a suggestion from the insurance company, to kind of go down that slope. It's important that any major decision or in this realm, you know your rights. And I think that word right there is so vitally important.
It is. It is. You know, and they do it for a reason, and it's not a nefarious reason, because there are a lot of, we'll call them mom and pop or fly-by-night outfits out there. Mm. And, you know, they're looking out for their insured. They want to make sure that the home is being put back together, you know, properly. You know, they want to make sure that the remediation is being done or the restoration work is being done properly. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And you know what? But when a company that has a great reputation, you know, has a longstanding, you know, been in the community for 10, 20 years, sometimes they suggest or make suggestions to the homeowner that, well, if you don't choose the vendor, then maybe the work's not going to be covered. Well, you know darn right, if you've been a business in the area for 10, 15 years, they're going to stand behind their work. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of us out there. There's a few companies that aren't on the, we'll call it the pet or the vendor program of the insurance company. And most of us do really good work. And you want to make sure that you're letting the insurance company know that, you know, I've selected this contractor, I want to go with this contractor, and, you know, how should we communicate? What is your preferred method of communication? You know, how would you like us to communicate, you know, the invoicing, the estimating, and stuff like that? And once you establish that, I think it goes a lot smoother. But you got to stand your ground, because they like to push back.
Let me ask you this. Maybe I shouldn't be asking you this.
Sure.
But I got to throw it out there. How do these relationships between businesses like yourself and others and the insurance companies develop? Because as you said, mm-hmm. you got a reputation. You've obviously done incredible work here in Central Wisconsin. And then you know, obviously, you know, being the, as you said, pet. I mean, again, it's not to disparage anybody, nope. but there seem to be a lot of moving parts there.
There are a lot of moving parts. So, you know, on, I guess one side, you've got your independent contractor, the guys like us, where we, you know, we're out there, we're gaining every job based off of our reputation, mm-hmm. you know, based off of, you know, we're only as good as our last job.
Right.
And then you've got other companies out there that are national franchise organizations that sign up and become part of these vendor programs. And they're going to get fed work no matter how they perform based on their last job. You know, a lot of these companies, you know, they just keep cranking through the work, where we really focus on each individual project that we're on. So it's reputation based. You know, it's not based on a handshake and an agreement that we'll do reduced pricing and mm-hmm. all this stuff. It's basically, we're here for you as an advocate for the customer, for the consumer, and then we're going to hold your hand through the process. And we're going to communicate effectively with mm-hmm. you, and we'll give you all the tools that you need to communicate effectively with your insurance carrier. And if you want us to interject and help out with that process, we're absolutely there for that.
And I think you kind of hit on a couple of big points in terms of the advantages. And obviously, you know, many folks have the same kind of relationships with their insurance companies as they do with their mm-hmm. contractors. I mean, you have a trust factor as mm-hmm. well. But having multiple trust factors could be an advantage. But you talked about a couple of the advantages.
Sure.
But there's quite a few advantages by having that contractor you can really trust.
Well,
and
that's
the
key word right there, you know. And just because, you know, a company, you know, hangs their shingle out and says, hey, we do this type of work, doesn't necessarily mean that they may be the best fit for you as a consumer. So, for example, maybe you have a relationship with a contractor and you're very comfortable with them. Say, whatever the experience was, maybe it was a small kitchen fire, maybe it was a flooded basement. And you, now you've got these people coming into your home. And these could be strangers that you've never met before. I would much rather be comfortable with the contractor coming in my home because I have a reputation with them. Maybe I've seen them around town. Maybe we've had interactions with them in the past. Maybe they supported a charity event that I'm part of. So it's just a matter of that comfort level. And then a lot of it is based on that first meeting. If you're familiar with a company, but yet you've never really used them, how do they onboard you as a client? Are they just coming in like, oh, we see this every day and they don't take your feelings into consideration? Right. Or are we sitting down and having a conversation, asking the questions like, before we get started, how are you doing? You know what I mean? And really making sure that the client is ready to take that step forward and sort of having that across the kitchen table conversation and making sure that we're laying out all the parts and pieces of the process rather than assuming that they've been through this before or we've seen this before and just let's just get started. Because a lot of people are like, they have the feeling of the loss of control. And you need to give them back that feeling of they're part of the process and let's walk through this together so they don't feel like everything's out of the control and their world is spinning apart. And we live in a very crazy world right now. And we can't control everything around us. But when it comes to our home, you know, darn it, you should be able to control some of what's happening in your home.
We're talking again to Jay Cricks and John Garcia from North Star Restoration and North Star Builds here on North Star Knows on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. When you sent me over, again, the information about today's topic, one word stood out in this area, which was accountability.
Yeah.
And I think accountability to the client. Because, again, and again, as you, we want to underline again, everybody, I believe, is trying to do the right thing. But if they're, the accountability is more towards the insurance company as opposed to the
you're
client.
You're taking the words right out of my mouth, buddy.
Hey, I read that stuff you sent to me. So, but I thought that jumped out, and I imagine that's vitally important.
You know, you can't serve two masters. It's as simple as that. You have to be accountable, and the homeowner is the true client. Now, granted, the insurance company might be cutting the check, which is great, but we need to answer to the homeowner. The homeowner is the one that called us. The homeowner is the one that lives in the home. The homeowner is the one that's going to have to live with the end product that is delivered once the cleanup, the deodorization, whatever is going on in the home. They're the ones that's going to be living in the home. And the insurance company just moves right on. That insurance adjuster moves on to the next claim. He might even be juggling 5, 10, 15 claims at the same time. So, you know, granted, like I'd mentioned this earlier, we granted have to communicate. But really, we have to be accountable to the homeowner.
And also, again, when this whole process, and again, it's wonderful for the people that really have the great knowledge and they know what they're doing. But again, someone like myself, when you're having these conversations, maybe with your insurance carrier, they can be a little bit intimidating, I imagine, that,
sure,
you know, in terms of trying to make sure that you are making sure that your rights are being listened to and acknowledged. Any tips on the communication between maybe yourself and the insurance company to make sure that
Absolutely.
You're able to get the right contractors in?
Absolutely. Well, let's just back that up a little bit. Say you've already selected a contractor and we want to talk about communication tips.
Okay.
So, you know, what you want to do is if you're communicating with your insurance company, include your contractor in the communication. If there's something that you're questioning about maybe the work or the craftsmanship of the, you know, the job, just call your contractor and say, hey, what is this? Or why are we doing it this way? If you're questioning the insurance company on, well, why are we only releasing this amount of money? Ask the questions. If you're not getting communication back from, say, your insurance company, your first step would be just call your agent. Because you've got agents and you've got adjusters. An agent can rattle a cage a little bit if they're a good agent. You know what I mean? Some agents are hands-off. They don't want to be bothered. They're going to refer you to a 1-800 number. But if you've got a good agent, just call your agent and say, hey, you know, I feel like I'm being left in the dark a little bit by what's going on in the process, and give them a call. Now, if that doesn't lead to any avail, you can always ask for the supervisor. Nobody wants anybody asking for their supervisor.
Right.
So typically when that happens, you start getting some responses and, you know, and things start moving forward. But I don't want to paint the insurance company with a bad brush because, you know, a lot of times, like I'd mentioned earlier, these adjusters may be dealing with 5, 10, 15 claims. They might be waiting to hear for an approval on something. So they don't have answers. So the best thing is be diligent. but also be patient.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If you're not getting the answers that you're looking for, start rattling some cages. You know, talk to your agent, maybe, you know, force it up the food chain a little bit.
It's about knowing your rights. Again, going sort of absolutely. Circling back. Also, real quickly, before we wrap up this part of the discussion, for yourself as, you know, as in your position, what are some of the things that you've noticed in discussions with insurance carriers? I mean, that you've learned over the years that allow you to be a greater advocate maybe for the people that you're working for?
Well, we all know the landscape of the insurance industry is changing very rapidly right now with all of the storms that have been hitting our coastal states and wildfires. And, you know, insurance companies are pulling out of states, not writing or renewing policies in certain areas. Premiums are going through the roof. So, you know, if you do have a claim, the main thing that you can do is just make sure that you're vested in the communication process. When you sit on the sidelines and don't communicate back and forth to the contractor, contractors, or to the insurance carrier, they slow down too because they're bleeding. They're losing money very quickly. So, you know, my grandma used to say the squeaky mouse gets the cheese. So, you know, you be the squeaky mouse, you know, be invested in that communication process because, you know, with everything going on in the world around us, the process sometimes is pretty slow and they're sometimes pretty slow to release the funds. I'm not going to name any insurance companies because they all have their different programs. Mm-hmm. They all have their different, I guess you're going to say, protocols that they follow to make with their claims processes. And you just have to be invested in the communication process. When you sit on the sidelines, things tend to linger.
We're going to come back after a very quick one-minute timeout. Continue North Star Knows, as we do every Thursday morning. Where are we going in the next segment?
Well, John?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the insurance process when we're looking at the estimating portion of reconstruction and how to select quality materials.
And why it's important to choose the contractor of your choice. This is a key reason.
Yep. I know those numbers sometimes, so those numbers can be a little different depending on where you look, and that can cause some headaches. So we're going to talk about that with John Garcia. Jay Crick's also here. North Star Restoration Services, North Star Builds. It is North Star Knows. The time is 8:49. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back. It's North Star Knows here with North Star Restoration Services and North Star Builds on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. We've been talking a lot with Jay Cricks, but now John Garcia, I've been waiting very patiently because this guy knows what he's talking about. And again, when you start talking about the numbers aspect of it, because actually we've talked about this a little bit as well, because there's so many times, I think maybe even last week we were talking about sometimes, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're expecting a certain number or the insurance company is expecting a certain number. And then there's always a gap here, making sure everybody's on the same page. And you're also, again, making sure that you are asking the right questions and everything else, because you don't want to be put into that situation where all of a sudden the numbers don't add up.
Correct. Yeah. You know, the biggest thing is when I talk to the insurance adjuster right away, you know, I let them know that every little thing, if I need to add detailed items to the estimate, there's always going to be a photo going with that. And that's going to, let's say it's line item number 20. Well, I'm going to have a photo that shows this photo is for line item number 20. If it's like an extra cost, or maybe it's something that's a little custom, that's not ordinary, that's not in the price list or pricing that of the program that we use, which is called Xactimate. So I try to let them know up front that anything that's in there that you're not used to seeing is because it's a specialty item. So I'll make sure to document that. And like Jay was talking about, is over communicating that and making sure it's documented and getting that to them so they have the info makes their job a lot easier. You know, one thing we really pride ourselves on is having the knowledge when you're going into a house to, you know, verify everything. And when certain things stick out, that you're going to include that in the estimate. So let's say your baseboard is a 3/4 inch thick oak and it's got, you know, it's a 3-piece molding. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay a lot more for that than if it's just a paint grade pine that is listed in the estimating program. Same thing with cabinets. Are your boxes, are they made out of plywood? Are they made out of MDF? Do you have pullout shelves in your cabinets? Is it soft closed doors and drawers? you know, dovetail boxes. There's all these little fine details that when I go on site to inspect everything for my repair estimate, those are the things that you need to look at. So that way the homeowner is getting what they had. Basically, you never want to give the homeowners a lesser product than what they had, because just like you, me, Jay, we want what we had, right?
Right.
We don't, and homeowners say it themselves too. Like, we're not looking to get anything better. We just want what we had.
Well, that's why you buy your insurance policy, isn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. And something that again, in terms of looking at, you have to be familiar with that policy, don't you? You have to know what's there.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing too. You can get a hold of the adjuster and say, hey, you know, what's in here? What do they have for building ordinance coverage? Because like we talked about before, all of a sudden let's say you open up a wall and there's a bunch of electrical that's not in code anymore and it's got to get upgraded. Mm-hmm. Well, who's paying for that? Is it covered under your policy, or is it something that the homeowner has to pay for? So those are the types of things, the questions that need to be asked, so that way the homeowner is not ending up with a large bill that is not covered by insurance.
And again, having a contractor that knows his stuff, because frankly, and again, as I was looking at some of the notes that for this program, there's a lot of items you kind of have to be very much aware of.
Yeah, and not only that, but having the knowledge yourself, but knowing the people that have the knowledge that you don't, if you need something that's outside of your wheelhouse.
That is key.
So if you're, let's say you're getting into, stonework like we had talked about before, or there's custom millwork on the outside of the house, like an old crown molding fascia, knowing that there are certain companies in the area around this area that can build you custom millwork if it's needed. Like sometimes people, what they had in their house, they want exactly that back because they were in love with it. You know, we had a 6-piece crown molding one time that a customer absolutely loved, and they wanted that exact molding back. Well, they didn't make the millwork anymore, so we actually contacted a company over in Stevens Point, and they were able to give us a price for making all this custom millwork, which then we have to get to insurance to approve with photos and documentation. So it's like, hey, this is what they had, this is what we need to make, and this is what it costs.
And that's something that, again, we've talked about as well, that sometimes maybe the insurance company and the people they work with won't even know about this person in Stevens Point.
Exactly, yeah. So it's all about knowing the right people and having people that you can refer to when needed.
You also talk about insurance-friendly choices because, again, sometimes it feels like in our discussions it's almost like a pull in each direction. But, no, you guys work together as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's times where, you know, you'll meet insurance on site and you're looking over something. It's like, you know, they had, this is all pine door jammer on their overhead garage door. Well, half of it was rotting off, right, when you're there. Well, they're going to get paid for pine, but it's like, okay, well, we're going to put in for PVC so that way it's not rotten anymore. Sure, it's an upgrade on the homeowner side, but also, not to mention, does it help them out, but it also helps out in the future. If something happens again, it's like maybe that's something that can be reused. So you got to look at products that are, from a sustainability standpoint, that if something were to happen, maybe it's not going to get as much damage, like siding, for instance, you know, vinyl versus an LP siding versus a steel siding. You know, they all have different hail damage ratings or wind speed ratings. So when you're looking at, you know, things from that nature as well. So maybe they had an old wood siding on there, a cedar, let's say, which is super expensive. Mm-hmm. Well, you could take the cost of that cedar and you could put on, let's say, a steel siding that's a seamless vertical, or even like an LP that's going to have the same impact resistance, but you're going to get better longevity out of the exterior finish of it. Because if you're using cedar, you're applying paint or stain to it, versus you have a factory finish if you're getting like a diamond coat or maybe a steel that's custom finished at a shop.
Along that lines, again, to something we've talked about is looking ahead, whether it is about longevity of the materials or longevity of making sure that you don't have to go back again, or, you know, in this era where there's always advancements, whether it's, environmental and energy considerations as well. Again, you have to kind of look at the big picture, and it also helps to save in the long run, which we've talked about quite a bit.
Yeah, correct. Same thing when you're looking at windows. Maybe you had wood windows in your house and they were double pane. Well, now you're going to go to a vinyl window, but it's going to be triple pane. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a little better R value. It's going to help you out. There's tax credits that you can get for those items, which that's one thing to look at too. Let's say you're in the process of a reconstruction, and let's say the windows to go to a triple pane are an extra, you know, $2,000 for your house. Mm-hmm. Well, if you look up and there's a tax credit for $2,500, you're not spending, you know, initially right. you're spending that money, but you're going to get that back in a tax credit, right? So
right.
it's going to help you out. So investing a little bit more than what you had sometimes pays off in the long run.
All right. Well, it's hard to believe we're down to our final 50 seconds. When we put it all together, what should they take away from this discussion?
So
the
biggest thing is selecting the right contractor. Have a meeting. Have an initial meeting with your contractor. Sit down with him. Make sure he knows what he's talking about. He's qualified in those areas to make the proper decisions that are going to benefit you as a homeowner.
Fantastic.
Because you want somebody that's going to look out for you and your best interest.
And you can't over-communicate.
Correct.
You know, when you're in the midst of something like this, make sure that you're documenting, writing things down, and communicating effectively, not only with your contractor, but also with your insurance agent and your insurance adjuster.
Jay Cricks, John Garcia, great stuff as always. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you next week.
Absolutely.
We'll see you then.
North Star Knows every Thursday right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.